said, my name's Dawson Kearns. I'm a master's student at the University of Tennessee in the Department of Entomology and Plant Pathology under Dr. Scott Stewart. And my presentation today pertains to the evaluation of BT resistance in Helicoverpa. So Helicoverpa, or bollworm, is a major pest of cotton. BT resistance has been detected in Helicoverpa populations to all proteins that are expressed in commercial products today. Therefore, supplemental insecticides are sometimes needed on these crops. So that highlights the importance of BT resistance management, because it can have management decision impacts. So I have two objectives. The first is to determine if BT cotton plant tissue can be utilized as an alternative to purified proteins in resistance assays. And my second objective is determine the most ideal plant structure to utilize in these assays. So there's several things that can impact results of my assays. The first is variation between the concentration of BT proteins in various tissues of the plant. Next would be interactions between BT proteins and natural cotton defenses such as gospel. And last would be the nutrition that these larvae receive. So in order to accomplish my objectives, I performed three sets of assays. The first was purified protein assays. The second set were leaf tissue assays. And the last set was plant part assays. So I collected non-BT Bolgard 2, which expresses Cry1AC and Cry2AV. And Wide Strike 3, which expresses Cry1AC, Cry1F, and VIP3. And this was these were planted on June 4th. Then I collected bolls, leaves, squares, white flowers, and pink flowers on August 20th. I tested two strains, a benzon strain for my susceptible population and the G13 Cry2AB2 homozygous resistant population, which was given to me by Texas A&M, and it was collected off sorghum. It's been found to be resistant to Cry1AC, Cry1F, and Cry2AB. So first I'll focus on objective one. The first set of assays I conducted were my purified protein assays, which consisted of overlaying a purified protein over a worm diet. So I produced my purified proteins myself. It consisted of growing out the bacteria, purifying the products, solubilizing the proteins, and then running them through FPLC. And the resulting gels indicate that for Cry1AC, Cry2AA, and VIP3A39, I had nice dark bands indicating I had a high enough concentration to work with. However, when I tried to purify Cry2AB, I could not get a high enough concentration of purified protein to use in my assays. So I used Cry2AA as a substitute for Cry2AB. So I tested Cry1AC, Cry2AA, and VIP3A39. I tested six doses for each protein. I tested both the benzon strain and the G13 strain. I used one neonate larva per well with four reps of 16 larvae. And I rated my assay after 7 days. And then I ran a probit analysis. I corrected for mortality by taking the percent alive in the check, subtracting the percent alive in my treatment, and then dividing by the percent alive in the check and multiplying by 100. Next, I conducted my leaf tissue assays, which consisted of taking leaf tissue, lyophilizing it, and grinding it into a fine powder, then overlaying that tissue onto a worm diet. I tested both Bolgard 2 and Wide Strike leaf tissues. And then I used non-BT overlay for my check. So I tested six dilutions of BT leaf tissue with non-BT leaf powder added so that every dose had the same total amount of cotton leaf tissue. And I only tested these assays on the benzon population. Then my statistical analyses and experimental design were the same as my purified protein assays. So when I look at the results, for the benzon strain, the purified protein and leaf tissue dose response curves, For my standard, I consider larvae dead if it was either dead or failed to molt past the second instar. The orange lines are going to be the purified proteins, which are presented in micrograms per square centimeter of purified protein. And the green lines will be the leaf tissues, which are presented in milligrams of BT leaf powder per square centimeter. If you look at the slopes of the purified proteins, you'll see they are more steep than the leaf powder slopes. And you see the highest mortality, or the most toxicity on the Cry 2AA, followed by the Cry 1AC, and then the VIP. Next, we'll look at this chart, which consists of the benzon data that I just showed with the G13 population. So when we look at Cry 1AC, the G13 population had a resistance ratio of greater than 95.2, which indicates resistance. Then on the Cry 2AA, the G13 population had a resistance ratio of 54.5, indicating resistance. However, on the VIP, the G13 population was actually a little more susceptible to VIP than the benzon population. And then when we look at the LC50s for the Bolgar 2 and the Y-Strike 3, we see that the LC50 for the Bolgar 2 on the benzon population was actually lower than the LC50 for the Y-Strike 3. So then next, I'll focus on my second objective. These consisted of my cotton plant tissue overlays, where I took various cotton plant tissues, lyophilized them, ground them into a fine powder, and overlaid them onto a diet. I tested bowl walls, leaves, and squares with the bracts removed, as well as white flowers and pink flowers, which consisted of the petals along with the internal reproductive structures of the flower. So I tested non-BT, Bolgar 2, and Y-Strike 3 plant structures. I only tested one dose for each treatment, and I derived this dose from the LC75 of the Bolgar 2 leaf tissue assays I conducted earlier. And I tested both the benzon, the G13 strains. I also used a different standard for mortality on these assays. I considered larvae that were dead or failed to molt past first instar as dead. And then I performed a proglimix on my data. So next, I'll look at the results for this. So I'm not going to spend much time on this first slide. This is the raw percent mortality. And really, I just want to point out the main thing that sticks out. It's the white flowers. They kind of stand above all the other bars on the graph. And so I took this data and I corrected it as I did before, using the non-BT structures as a check. And we look at the charts of fixed effects, the benzon population. For trait as a main effect, there is a significant effect. And structure as a main effect showed significance. However, there was no two-way interaction. For the G13 strain, trait did not have a significant effect on mortality. However, structure did, and there was no two-way interaction. So next, when we look at the corrected percent mortality, we have the G13 population is the darker bars, and the benzon population is the lighter bars. So for leaves, we don't see much difference between the G13 and the benzon population. For the squares, on Bolgar 2, we see higher mortality in the benzon population than the G13 population. However, on the Y-Strike 3, we don't see that. We see similar percent mortality. Then on the white flowers, which really stand out, we see high mortality on both the Bolgar 2 and the Y-Strike 3 for the benzon population. However, that mortality is lower on the G13 strain. And last, when we look at the pink flowers, we see not much of a difference between both populations on the pink flowers in either White Stripe 3 or Bolgard 2. So in conclusion, these plant structure assays resulted in lower perceived resistance compared with purified proteins, which wasn't unexpected. We're dealing with multiple proteins. However, we still did detect resistance in the G13 population. It appeared the most ideal structure to use for these plant tissue assays was the white floral tissue. And there's several contributing factors that could result in these differences between the structures and the technologies. And it could be differences between level of expression of different proteins between the White Stripe 3 and the Bolgard 2. There's also a lot of behavioral changes going on. I know on the leaf tissues, the worms really did not like the leaf tissue. Like the second I was putting them in that well, they were trying to get off. And so I think on the white flowers, they might have been ingesting more of the plant tissue, so they were being exposed to more of the toxin. And I'd like to thank my committee and everyone that provided me with materials. And with that, I'll take questions.
Got plenty of time for questions.
The question is, what role do I think gospel is playing in the mortality that I'm seeing, like on some of the other structures, like the leaves and the bowls? I can't say for certain, but if I had to speculate, I think it does play a pretty significant role, and especially on the leaves and the bowls in particular, they did not do well on the non-BT leaves and the non-BT bowls, whereas on the white flowers, they were very healthy on the non-BT white flowers compared to the other structures. The amount of gospel?
Yes.
The question was if I knew the amount of gospel in the structure, and the answer to that question is no, I did not.
Any other questions?
The question is the difference in expression level between leaf and white flower. So that can vary, I think, depending on the technology, and especially with VIP, I don't really know. But past studies have shown that the expression of the cry proteins would be higher in the leaves compared to the white flowers. The question is why I changed my standard for the mortality. That's a good question. So the reason I changed it is, including second instars, is pretty conservative. And the reason I had to do that was just so I could get a good fit on my curves for the leaf tissue. If I didn't include second instars, I couldn't get a fit. And so really it was cleaner data for the first standard I used. And then it was just for cleaner data, really.
We have time for one more question. Well, let's thank our speaker.